The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos begins with the statement, the Moshe Kibbutz term, Hesina, Mesorah, Yoshua, etc. And we assume that Mesira refers to the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebitzav is in a text. You don't need any Mesira on that. The Mesira refers to the transmission, the oral transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara points out that we have an expression that appears every so often in the Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah Soi, he gave us his Toros in the plural. There's only one Torah, so the Gemara says that the plural is referring to the two parts of the Torah Shebitzav, as well as the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam has a long essay in his introduction to his commentary on Mishnayos. It's printed in the back of Maseches Brachos, where he divides all of Torah Shebaal Peh into four parts. He says one part of the Torah Shebaal Peh is those dinim which are halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, where there's no method to figure out by reading in between the lines of the Chumash what these dinim are. For example, that tefillin have to be merubot, the bottom of the tefillin have to be square, or that the ritzuas have to be black, or the Gemara has a whole list of halachas l'moshe m'Sinai. So this is one section of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam there in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos gives you a list. He writes, he's going to give you a list of all of the halachas, collecting all of the halachas l'moshe m'Sinai that are mentioned in the Gemara. The list is not that long, and on the bottom of the page, in all the regular editions of the Gemara, they refer you to a tshuva written by the Chavos Yoyer, who points out that the listing of the Rambam is very incomplete. He only listed half of the halachas l'moshe m'Sinai. He left out the other half. So the Netziv, in his introduction to his commentary on the Sheiltos, the commentary is called the Haimek Sha'ola, and the introduction is called the Kidmas Haimek. So in his introduction, it's interesting, the Netziv originally printed the Sheiltos in three volumes, so he started writing this introduction. It's really an introduction to all of Torah Shebaal Peh, not at all an introduction to his commentary on the Sheiltos. It's an introduction, a general introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh. So when he published the first volume of the Sheiltos on Bereishis, and the Sheiltos are drushes that the Rav Achoi gave on the Parshas HaShavua, and each drusha he covers some halachas. So the Netziv published, in the beginning of the first volume, he published the first third of his introduction to Torah Shebaal Peh. When he published Vayikra, the second volume of the Sheiltos, so he published the continuation, the Hemshach of the Hakdama. Then when he published the third volume, each one in Europe was published separately. When he published Bamidbar and Dvarim, so he completed his introduction. Now, the Mosada Rav Kook took all of the three introductions. It's one long introduction with three parts. So they printed all three in the beginning of the first volume. So you wonder, why did he have them broken up into three different parts? The answer is because originally when it was printed in Europe, it was printed in installments. The first part of the first third was printed in the first volume. The second third was printed in the second volume. The third third was printed in the third volume. And now that Mosada Rav Kook collected all the three together, so they put all three in the beginning of the first volume. One of the descendants of the Netziv, one of the Berlins in Eretz Yisrael, printed the Kidmas HaEmek separately as a separate volume with a lot of footnotes giving all of them Armakimus, because the Netziv doesn't tell you where all of his sources are. It says it's a Tosefta, and it's a Yerushalmi, and a Medrash Rabbah. He doesn't tell you all of the sources. So this Berlin's edition has all the footnotes, but he gives you all of them Armakimus. So the Netziv writes in his introduction to his, really the introduction to the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, he thinks that the Rambam knew what he was talking about. The reason why the Rambam left out so many halachas l'moshe m'Sinai is because the Gemara often says hilchas gemiri law or Gemara gemiri law. So whereas Rashi and Tosfos in the Rosh understood that hilchas gemiri law or Gemara gemiri law means that this is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, take for example Tzuris, those who just learned recently Bava Kamma, the Daf Yomi just finished Bava Kamma. So in the beginning of Bava Kamma, the Gemara says that a shor was mazik by Ilei Tzuras, a behemoth is walking and it kicks pebbles, and the pebbles smash a window, so that Bala Shor only pays Chatzin Nezik. So the Gemara says that this is Hilchas Gemiri Law, and Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rosh understand that this means it's Halacha L'moshe M'Sinai. So the Rambam is very careful Whenever the Gemara says Hilchas Gemira Lo, Gemara Gemira Lo, the Rambam never writes Eidus Halacha Moshe B'Sina. The Rambam writes Mipi Hashmua Lomdu. So the Netziv suggests that the Rambam understood this was not a Halacha Moshe B'Sina. It means that in some earlier generation, the Chachamim established what the din was based on some Midas Shatar Nidresh Hespem. And the later generations, when they were writing the Talmud Bavli, was forgotten what the derivation was, what the source was. So they just said, Gemara Gemira Lo, we have a tradition from the earlier generations, this was worked out, we don't know what the source is, but there is a source. Whenever there's a source, whereby you can read this by in between the lines of the Chumash, that's not called the Halacha Moshe M'Sina. The Rambam says the definition of Halacha Moshe M'Sina means a din that's transmitted orally from generation to generation, which has no drasha. There is no way the darshan by reading in between the lines. So the Netziv claims that the answer to the kasha of the Chavis Yoreh, that the Rambam left out, Rambam gives you what he considered a full list, a complete list of halachas l'moshe m'sinai. He left out 50% of the halachas l'moshe m'sinai. So the Netziv says the Rambam did not leave out. The Rambam understood all of those gemaras, but they don't use that technical term, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Gemara says, gemara gemiri lo, hilchas gemiri lo, means that it's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It means that it was derived somehow. In the later generations, the derivation was forgotten. So the Rambam writes that the first section of Torah Shebaal Peh are the halachas l'moshe m'sinai. Then he says there's another part of Torah Shebaal Peh, which he coins a term, Pirushim ha-mekubalim l'moshe m'sinai. There are certain psukim in the Chumash where it's a little bit unclear. It seems a little bit unclear what the Chumash is driving at. And we have a tradition what the pshat is. Not that we have a tradition that the tefillin have to be square. That doesn't say at all. We have a tradition that this phrase means this. For example, the Chumash says that on Sukkot we should shake a lulav and an esrog, and the esrog is described as a pre-Eitz Hadar. So what exactly is a pre-Eitz Hadar? So our tradition has it that phrase is referring to an esrog. It's not that based on the Torah Shebichsav you could have used any good-looking fruit, and the halacha Moshe M'Sinai decided that you should use an esrog. No, that's our tradition has it, that's what that means. Or, yeah, the pasuk, the Rambam gives the other example, the pasuk says, ayin tachasayin, that if a person harms someone else bodily, so the simple reading of the Chumash is that you take out his eye, since he took out the other one's eye, take out his eye, an eye for an eye. So the halacha, so it's not a halacha Moshe M'Sinai, but rather this is from the Pirushim HaMekubalim of Moshe M'Sinai, the tradition has it, that the phrase is not to be taken literally. The pshat in that pasuk means that the mammon. Or for example, Rav Soloveitchik added on a few more. Rav Soloveitchik assumed that whenever the Targum Onkelos adds something to the pasuk, it must be that he's assuming that this is from the Pirushim HaMekubalim L'Moshe M'Sinai. A Targum Onkelos never adds commentaries. Targum Onkelos just gives pshutu shel mikra. So the Targum writes on the pasuk Benakeh lo yinakeh, when we recite the Yud Gimel Midas Hashem Hashem Kel Rach Mechanun. So the Targum Onkelos quotes the comment that the Gemara makes on that phrase, that it's not one phrase Benakeh lo yinakeh, God will not forgive. Benakeh menakehu l'shavim ve'ena menakeh l'sheinam shavim. You should lane Benakeh. Usually the Balkari lanes quickly. Benakeh lo yinakeh, lanes quickly. So I remember once in the yeshiva the Balkari read on a tiny sibur, he read like that. Rav Soloveitchik insisted that he should read over the pasuk that the Targum Onkelos translates Menakeh Menakeh L'Shavim. Those who do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives them. Einem Menakeh L'Sheinem Shavim. Those who don't do tshuva, he will not forgive. He said because the Targum Onkelos quotes this comment that the Gemara made, this is an indication that he understood that this is pshuto shel mikra. This is the simple pshat in the pasuk. So you have to lane the trap accordingly. Or the Targum Onkelos has a comment on the pasuk in Parshas Bahaloischa, when it says that Aharon and Miriam made negative comments against their brother Moshe, Alodoso Yishar Kushis or Shalokach, Ki Yishar Kushis Lokach. He married Ashvarza. That's what it sounds like. Yishar Ben married Ashvarza, Yishar Kushis. So what's so bad about marrying Ashvarza? Was she Jewish or she was not Jewish? So the Targum Onkelos adds on a word, Ki Yishar Kushis Lokach. Their complaint was why he divorced his wife. Why did he divorce his wife? Why didn't he stay with his wife? So the psukim say because they thought their brother had this idea that he's a bigger Navi than everybody else. A normal Navi is permitted to lead a normal married life with his spouse, He had a bug in his head. He thought that he's a bigger Navi than everybody else. He's not allowed to live with his wife. So that was the Lashon Hara that they said. The Lashon Hara wasn't Ki Yishu Kush Yislokach that he married a Shvarza. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Targum Unglis said, on Ki Yishu Kush Yislokach, and he divorced her. So that was the complaint. What does he think? He's somebody greater than Amanavi. Miriam said, I'm a Navi. My brother Aaron is a Navi. We didn't get divorced. We lead normal lives. So who does Moshe Rabbeinu think he is? She loved her brother, but still she thought that it went to his head a little too much. Then the Rabbanu Shlom reveals himself to Aaron and Miriam and says, that's absolutely correct. I told him to divorce his wife. He's so humble, you never realize he's on a higher level of Nevuah than everybody else. And I told him he has to separate from his wife. So the Targum Unculus adds this phrase to the Pasuk. So Rav Soloveitchik assumed that the Targum Unculus doesn't add comments from the Torah Sheba'al Peh. He said, when a Malamed teaches in a cheder, young children, so the Malamed is not mechuyav to teach every comment that Rashi makes, not obligated to tell you everything that the Torah Tmima quotes from the Gemara or the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Malamed has to just translate the words when they first teach Chumash. But there are certain phrases that the Targum Unculus adds on a word or two, that's considered Pshutu Shel Mikra. Those are considered Perushim HaMekubalim, L'Moshe Misina. If you don't add that on, then you're considered Megala Panam HaTorah, Shaloi Kehalocha. It's interesting, the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote a commentary on the Rambam, that's known as the Kesef Mishnah. It's printed all the standard editions of the Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah has a comment on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Ovel. The Rambam writes that a Kohen is not permitted to be Metamei L'Nesim unless it's one of the seven relatives. So the six of the seven relatives are explicit in the Chumash. A parent, father or mother, a brother or a sister, a son or a daughter. And the spouse is not explicit in the Chumash. It says the Kohen is only permitted to be Metamei. We assume he's obligated to be metamei to these. Lo yitam is obligated to be metamei to the six relatives, and then it says kiim l'she'ero. So the tradition has it that l'she'ero zuishto. That's referring to the wife, the spouse. So the Rambam writes the six relatives, the kohen is metamei min haTorah, and the seventh relative is midivrehem. So that's a question. What do you mean midivrehem? It means that it's only midirabbana min haTorah. The kohen is not permitted to be metamei when his wife dies. And it's only with the Rabbana that they obligated him to. So that's problematic. How can they? I say the rabbis are only authorized by the Torah to introduce chumras that make asesi oglator. The rabbis cannot be matir and isa deraisa. If a kohen is prohibited from attending the funeral of his wife, so how can the rabbis permit that? So it's usually assumed that the Rambam meant midivrehem midirabbana. And how is it permissible? So they give an explanation. The Rambam says, Asuhu kemeis mitzvah. The Rambam gives a whole explanation how it works, even though it's only with the Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam writes, he doesn't think that that's what the Rambam meant. He says, Midivrehim doesn't mean midirabbanan. It means it's Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's a drasha of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's not Pshuto Shel Mikra. If it would have been Pshuto Shel Mikra, Pirushim HaMekubalim, Moshe Misina, so the word L'she'ero would have been translated in the Targum Unculus Ishto. So the Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in his commentary, Kesef Mishnah, says, look in the Targum Unculus, he doesn't translate L'she'ero Ishto, he translates She'ero to a relative. So you see that Pshuto Shel Mikra, if the Malamed is teaching in Cheder, he doesn't have to mention to the children the wife. He only has to say the six relatives, and he can translate L'she'ero, means the Korab Shalom. It's a drasha of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, something, an additional level of interpretation that we add on, that Leishto is also mitame. It's not midirabbanan, it's minatorah, but it's not minatorah. Torah Shebichsav is Torah Sheba'al Peh. And the Rambam refers to Torah Sheba'al Peh as midivrehem. Means the rabbis had input. The rabbis darshim sukim, and they read in between the lines, so that's not midirabbanan, that's minatorah. But that's called midivrehem, because that's midivrei sefer. The rabbis added that on. So it's interesting, that's where Rav Soloveitchik got this assumption from, that whatever it says in Targum Unculus, that's considered Pshuto Shel Mikra. Targum Unculus, Targum Yonasan Ben Aziel adds on all kinds of drushes, all kinds of agaritas, all kinds of things are added on. And the Targum Yerushalmi, the Targum Yonasan Ben Aziel, the Targum Unculus, Rav Soloveitchik was assuming like this Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Ovel, that the Targum Unculus only gives Pshuto Shel Mikra. So then the Rambam continues in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos. He writes, that there are four different parts to the Torah Shabbat. So he writes one part is the consists of the halachas that are known as halachas l'moshe m'sinai. We have an oral tradition, ish m'pish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, what the din is, but there's no methodology, there's no way to read this din in between the lines. The second section of the Torah Shabbat Peh is Birushim ha-mukuvalim l'moshe m'sinai. We have a tradition that this is the pshat and the pasuk. Then he says the third part to the Torah Shabbat Peh are the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. We have the midrash ha-ter nidreshes ben, and the Siddur before Baruch Sha'amar, so we have the Braiser Rabbi Shmuel, who says that B'yud Gimel Midas Atar Nidreshes Bam, that there are 13 different styles of drushes where we derive, whereby we derive halachas by reading in between the lines of the Chumash. There are really more than 13, there are many more than 13 Midas Atar Nidreshes Bam. Some of these Midas Atar Nidreshes Bam that appear in the Siddur before Baruch Sha'amar, some of them never even appear in the Gemara. Some of them only appear in the Sifro, and the Sifrei, some of them are never even appear in the Gemara. The Gemara has many more drushes, but the 13 are the basic 13. There are more. Truth of the matter is that the bulk of the Torah Shabbat Peh really consists of the Midrash HaTorah and Drashes Bam. All of those dinim that are derived by reading in between the lines. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Samach Amud Beis presents a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, his student, where the Rov Torah is Bichsav, a Rav Torah is Baal Peh. So the commentaries ask, it doesn't make any sense, how can you have such a dispute? Look in any Jewish library, go to any Beis Medrash. How many Svarim are there in the whole Tanakh? Chof Dalet Svarim, the 24 Svarim in the Torah Shebitzah. How many Svarim are there in the Torah Shebaal Peh? Unlimited. They keep on putting out more Svarim. Every week in Eretz they put out 5 good Svarim. Torah Shebaal Peh keeps on growing and growing. So how can there be a dispute in the Gemara where the Rav Torah is Bitzav? A Rav Torah about that clearly. You put together the Mishnayos with the Tosefta, with the Gemara, with the Shulchan Aruch, with the Rambam. It's already way more than the whole Tanakh. The Tanakh is very small, only 24 Chavtal and Tzvar. It's clear that the Torah Shabbat Peh is the Rav. So how can the Gemara have such a machlokes? So the Prima Godim has, Prima Godim is a commentary on Yeridei, on the Shach and the Taz, and on Arachayim, on the Taz and the Magen Avraham. The author of the Prima Godim lived in Frankfurt, the other Frankfurt, not Frankfurt on the Main, the other Frankfurt on the Oder. He was not a Yekada, he was a Galatian. He was a Malamed in Frankfurt. So he wrote this wonderful commentary on Shulchan Aruch that's always quoted every page in the Mishnah Berurah. He quotes from the Prima Godim. And the Prima Godim wrote what he calls a Psicha HaKoleles L'Orachayim, his general introduction. The Shulchan Aruch Arachayim is really, which is really a misnomer, it's really a Psicha HaKoleles, the Torah Shebaal Peh. There are many Svarim. I remember my father used to say, his father's father used to say, that someone should write a doctoral dissertation, someone should write a commentary on the Psicha HaKoleles of the Prima Godim. My father wasn't aware that there are 35 Svarim written on the Psicha HaKoleles of the Prima Godim to Arachayim. So he begins his Psicha HaKoleles with this kasha. How can the Gemara and Gittin have this dispute where the Rav Torah is Bichsav or Rav Torah is Baal Peh? It's clear, anyone knows that the majority of the Torah is the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebichsav is only 24 Svarim. Of course it's less than Rav, way less than 50%. So he quotes from the Sefer Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva is a classic Sefer that was written in the 1600s on a few Gemaras, a little bit on he has a commentary on Horius. So he quotes from the Sefer Be'er Sheva on Horius that it's clear that the majority of Kol HaTorah Kulo is really, there aren't so many halachas l'moshe m'sinai. The Rama gives you a list that fills up a quarter of the page. The Chavis Yoreh says the Rama, we mentioned earlier, the Chavis Yoreh says the Rama left out half of them, so it covers a half of a page. You can put all the halachas l'moshe m'sinai on one page. There aren't so many. And Pirush Mahamukubalam l'moshe m'sinai, we said around 4 or 5 already. There aren't so many more. Pirushima, Ayin Tachasayin, and Kriyeh Tzodar, and Ishikush Yislokach. There aren't so many more. Pirushima, Kabbalah, Moshe Messina. It can cover a tenth of a page, a twentieth of a page, very little. The bulk of the Torah Shebaal Peh really consists of the drushes, the dinim that are established by reading in between the lines of the Psukim and the Chumash, using the methodology of the Midrash HaTorah and the Nidreshes Bam. So that's really the majority of Kol HaTorah Kula, are the halachas that are established based on Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaShem. That's the machlokes of Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So these halachas that were established by Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaShem, do they have the status of Torah Shebichtav, or do they have the status of Torah Shebaal Peh? What's the difference? What's the difference whether you should consider it Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebaal Peh? So that's what the Be'er Sheva, this commentary on Hori, is, spends a lot of time to try to explain. What's the difference whether you label something as Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebaal Peh? And then the Pirmagodim begins where he leaves off, where the Be'er Sheva leaves off. That's how he begins his Psicha Kalelos. What are the differences, Halach Lamaisa, between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh? So again, the largest chunk of the Torah Shebaal Peh, from the four sections of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the largest part of the Torah Shebaal Peh is really the body of halachas that are established through the methodology of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam. These Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam is a big question. The Gemara says, Adam Don Kal V'Chomer Me'atzmo. A rabbi who's learned has the right to establish the Kal V'Chomer on his own. Not only Kal V'Chomer on his own, the Mamatzino on his own also. So the question is, what about the other Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam? What about a Klal, a Prat, a Klal? What about Dar B'Shoei B'Chalal, the Yatzman HaKlal HaLamed, HaKlal Kul Yatzman, all the other Halachas L'Moshe Messina? Do we assume that Adam Don, people can be done all of the Midas on their own? Or do you assume you can only be done Kal V'Chomer? So this was a big dispute. The Rambam quotes the position of the Gaonim, and he disagrees with them. He says, the Gaonim were of the opinion that every single halacha was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. This is based on the expression that appears in several midrashim. Rav Chaim Voloshiner in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim has a whole shar, a whole section on Liman HaTorah, the importance of Liman HaTorah. And he quotes all of the midrashim where this statement appears. Kol ma shetalmid osik osik lechadish nemar ola Moshe misina. Anything that a responsible student of halacha will come up, any chiddush that will come up with in this year, Tavshin Samach Tes, was given already to Moshe Rabbeinu and Harsina. So is that to be taken literally? Every single din in the Mishnah Brura, every single din, every line was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Harsina, every halacha? Or do you take that as a melitza? What it means is that the text of the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam. So any Talmud Vasik, if you have a good Talmud, and any later generation, and by using the principles of Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam, he comes up with a new Chiddush, so implicitly this was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not explicitly, not that Moshe Rabbeinu was told every single din, that Moshe Feinstein wrote Shuvas, so every single din that Rav Moshe Feinstein came up with, if you should assume Rav Moshe Feinstein was a Talmud Vasik, okay, that's a question. How does anybody have a right to print the Ksos HaChoshen? Writes a whole introduction to his Sefer. So Zahoshin is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch Hoshin Mishpah. So he writes in his introduction, who gives me the right to publish my Chidushim? Maybe they were all garbage. Only a Talmud Vasik. Only what a Talmud Vasik, what a good Talmud says was Nema L'Moshe Messina. Maybe I'm not a good Talmud. So he says, he thinks, he writes in his own introduction, he thinks that he's a good Talmud because many times he came up with a chiddush, and then after researching it, he found that his chiddush said already in the Rishonim. So if it says in Rishonim, then he's okay. Then he's going on the right mahalach. He's going on the right derech, on the right path. So he has to farefizich that he thinks that he's a Talmud Basak. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's chiddushim sak haloch lamaisa, every single tshuva Rav Moshe Feinstein was told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So the Goyim say yes. So according to the Goyim, that every single din was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So why in the world do you need Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam? Everything is Halacha Moshe Messina. Everything was transmitted from generation to generation. So the Goyim say, no, the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSpam is just to check yourself to make sure that you didn't make a mistake. Halacha Moshe Messina, like the tefillin have to be square and the ritzuas have to be black. That was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they told, Rabbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu, don't break your head to try to figure out how to derive this by reading in between the lines. There's no way to read it in between the lines, that's all. But all the other, the bulk of the Torah Shebaal Peh was given word for word, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, And he was told that there's a similar dover to make sure you don't make a mistake, that you don't distort it. There's a gzera shava, there's a binyanav, there's a dover shoye bechlal, there's a klal prata klal, and so on and so forth. That to check yourself to make sure you didn't make a mistake. So where is the room for machloikis? If every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu and Hasina, you study Mishnayos. There's machloikis. Practically every single Mishnah has machloikis. Gemara all the time has machloikis. So where is there room for machloikis? So the Gaonim say machloikis is because the tradition was forgotten. So the Rambam says, what an embarrassment for the Jewish people. We forgot more than we remember. How can it be? The most precious thing that the Jewish people have is the Torah. We forgot every single thing. Every Mishnah has a machloikis, hatanoi. And every Gemara has a machloikis, amaram. They forgot. They were told every single din, every single igres Moshe, every single Mishnah Berurah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's room for all the machloikis? Everything was forgotten. So the Rambam says that's an embarrassment for the Jewish people to say such a thing, and he says it is not true. He doesn't believe that the Medrash is to be taken literally. Kol Mashu Talmud Vosigos Lachadish Nemel of Moshe Mesinai. He says all it means was. All it means is that the text of the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Midrash turned in Reshes Bayim were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Talmid HaChamim, the qualified Talmid HaChamim in every generation, have the right to employ these Midrash turned in Reshes Bayim to come up with whatever Chidush Torah they think are correct. But it doesn't mean every single din was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then in applying the Midrash turned in Reshes Bayim, so very often there would be a machlekes. You have a machlekes Abai v'Rabbi, you have machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir, you have machlekes all the time. They're not arguing what was the tradition. There never was a tradition on all the details. We have the Moshe Rabbeinu was given the text of the Chumash and the methodology, how to figure out the missing points in between the lines, and then the Tanaim had a machlekes, how you should fill in all the missing information. It's interesting that this machlekes was repeated in later generations. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch had a student in his school, Gratz, who wrote Jewish history. So part of what he writes is that the whole Torah Sheba'al Peh was invented by the rabbis in the later generation. There never was any Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah, I didn't read that much from Gratz. I don't know if he believes in Torah Sheba'al Peh, but the Torah Sheba'al Peh, for sure, he doesn't believe that that's Min HaShemayim. He says it was all invented by the rabbis. So Rabbi Hirsch, when he has his attacks against the Gratz, so he says not only is it not true, he reverses everything. Every single din he goes back to the Shita Sagaina. Every single din that we have was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Hasina, as it says in the Medrash. So what do you need the Midrash turn the Dresh Spam for? No, that's just as a check to make sure that you're saying over the tradition correctly, that you didn't make a mistake. So that's usually not the accepted opinion. But Rabbi Hirsch wrote, that was the Shita Sagainim, that's not the generally accepted opinion. It was usually assumed, like the Rambam wrote, that was the mainstream opinion, was what the Rambam wrote, that not every, the halachas la Moshe Mesinai were transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu exactly, so. But all of the halachas that are derived through the drushes, doesn't mean that the dinim were given and the drush is just a method to remember the din, to check yourself, to make sure that you're not distorting it. No, the Tanoim and Amaram, the Talmid HaChamim in every generation, had the right to darshan the din. And when they would darshan the din, it would become a din deraisa, because they're using the Midrash turn in Rashi Shem. In fact, there's even a dispute among the Amaraim. There was a great Goyen who lived in the 1700s, the Chidor, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He wrote something like 75, 85 svarim. Across the street they have the Svaridusha Beis Medrash. They have a whole bookcase of all of the svarim of the Chidor. You have to have a whole library to have all of the svarim. And the svarim are not just little things. Each sefer, each one of his 85 svarim is something tremendous. He has several of them are encyclopedias, alphabetically arranged on certain aspects. And Agadatah and Halacha and the Rices and the Rabbanans, each one is a unique sefer. So one of his many svarim is entitled Simchas HaRegel. It's a commentary on Megillas Rus from the beginning to the end. Not Megillas Rus, not so long, but he has a lot to say. So in his commentary on the Megillas Rus, he quotes a dispute among the Rishonim regarding the din of Moavi below Moaviyah. Rus HaMoaviyah married a Jewish man. She married Boaz. So based on the simple reading of the Chumash, this was not permitted. This pasuk says, "Lo yavam ani bikala Hashem and amoyne." He cannot marry a Jewish girl. So the Mishnayos say that that only applies if a male Moavi converts. He's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. But if a female Moaviyah converts, she is permitted to marry a Jewish man. Amoni v'lo amonis, Moavi v'lo Moaviyah. Moaviyah is permitted to. So there's so the Chido quotes a dispute among the Rishonim. Was this a halacha l'moishim misina that was transmitted from generation to generation? Or was this a din that was nischadesh in the days of Boaz? That they darshan using the midrash of Torah Midrashis. Then on the assumption, the second step the Chidor goes, on the assumption that this was a din that was in Schadish in the days of Boaz, whenever the Chachamim have the right to darshan midrash of Torah Midrashis and come up with new details by reading in between the lines, should be assumed that this din only applies mikana l'habo, or should be assumed no? Since we read in between the lines, so we assume that this was the intention of the Rabbanu Shalom when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that it's going to turn out that this din was always so. It's not that the din is only Noyim Mikana Lahabo. Let's say the Rosh in Chulin in the first parak on Daf Yud Zayin, the Rosh has a famous comment that's discussed in Shulchan Aruch. If the Beis Din comes up with a new prohibition today, they decide to ask the Gevina Zakon. In the days of the Tanoim, they prohibited cheese that's manufactured by non-Jews, even if we know that all the ingredients are kosher. It's like Zerim Derabban, you're not allowed to eat Gvina Sabra, cheese that's made by the non-Jews. So the Rosh comments that Easter only, let's say, we'd all been eating kosher cheese that was manufactured by non-Jews, and we were frying cheese in our frying pan, we were cooking, everybody was using it. And now the Beis Din decides we're not allowed to eat non-Jewish cheese, even though all the ingredients are kosher. Now, so does that mean I have to kosher all of my pots and pans? So the Rosh says no. It means all the cheese that's manufactured from now on by a non-Jew may not be eaten by a Jew. But whatever cheese was made by the non-Jews before the Gzeirah Derabbanan, whatever cheese I have left over, I'm permitted to eat that was manufactured before the Yisr. And my pots and pans don't have to be kosher. And Issa de Rabbanon only begins Mikan al Habo. You don't say the Issa de Rabbanon works retroactively for Maimon Hasina. What? Adin de Rabbanon is only Mikan al Habo. So the Chidor quotes a dispute among the Achrayim. What if the Bezin darshins Adin de Araisa by reading in between the lines? Should we assume, well, Adin de Araisa is Adin de Araisa, must have been given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Hasina. So even though it wasn't given explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was given the text of the Chumash, he was given the Midrash of Torah and Rosh Hashem, but still we should read back and we should assume that the din was always so since the days of Maimon Hasina. Or should we assume, no, since this is a din, Medivrei Sof, from here there was rabbinic input in developing this din, so this din only applies Mikan al Habo. So many Achrayim are of the opinion that you have a din deraisa that only applies Mikan al Habo. Interesting concept. They say from the Chazanish that he apparently thought like that as well. Adin d'oraisa, which is midrash through the midrash of Torah and the Rosh Hashem, is similar to adin d'rabbanon, but it's only noig mikana l'habo. It doesn't apply l'machreya. The methodology of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem has already been forgotten today. We don't really know how to do Dovish Hoya B'Chalal, Yatzman HaKlal, Klal Prat HaKlal. We don't know how to use these Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hashem. The only Mid that we know how to use is Kal V'Chaymer HaMam Atzim. All of the Chubis, all of the Psokim, and from the Rishayim on, no one, already in the days of the Amaroyim, you hardly have anybody figuring out a Klal Prat HaKlal. The Gemara has some of these midas never mentioned in the Gemara. They only appear in the Torah's Kahanim, in the Sifra, and the Sifrei. So today, the only midas that we know about are Kal V'Chaymer and in Svara. That's what they say in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that he used to say, in addition to the Yud Gimel midas, Shatar and Adreshes, meant there's a 14th midah. That's the midah of Svara. That's more important than all the other 13. That was in the days of the Gemara. They established a lot of dinim based on Svara. Whenever the Gemara says, whenever something is a svara, a pro lamali svarahi, whenever you have a logical, compelling argument that the din should be so we assume that is a din deraisa. Whenever you analyze the nature of the din, the Gemara in the first Mishnah in Baba Kama says you have arba avos nizikin. The Chumash lists of different types of property that I have that causes damage, shor, bor, mab, and hever. So then the Chumash describes certain cases. That's called the Ovis Nezikin, the case that's described in the Chumash. And then the Gemara says that they're a Tolbis. Another situation that's similar to the case that's described by the Chumash has the exact same din called the Semcha Yetzibim. A case that's sufficiently similar to the to Shor and to Bor and to Mab and to Ever has the same din. So how do you know that this is so? Do you have a pasuk to teach me that told the same Yetzibim? That if he left a knife on the rooftop and the wind is blowing and the knife falls down and it causes harm, causes damage, that it has the same din as Eish? Eish is when the thing is halacha mazik. So if my knife causes hezek while it's flying in the air, that's the same as Eish. Or if I leave a banana peel in the street and someone slips and he gets hurt, that's not a bor. Bor is when you dug a ditch in the ground, someone fell into the ditch. Here you left a stumbling block and someone falls on it, so it's sufficiently similar to bor. It has the same dinim as bor. So how do you know that told the same kayetzman? Which one of the yud gimel nida shatar and the dreshes mem did you use over here? So it's usually assumed that you use mamatzinu. Mamatzinu is the question, which mida it is. The Prima Godim has a discussion in the introduction to his Sefer Ginos Merodim, whether mamatzinu falls under the category of Kal V'Chaymer or mamatzinu falls under the category of Binyan Agam. Mamatzinu is the most common drasha, most common mida shatar and dreshes mem that we use today. When it comes to Ovis and Tolus of Shabbos, we have Ovis Malachis on Shabbos. We have a tradition, the Olam HaTes Ovis Malachis, that each one of the Malachis has Tolus. So there the Gemara says you need a Pasuk to say, the Oslam Me'achas Me'hena, you need a Pasuk to teach you that there is an institution of Tolus. And if this activity is sufficiently similar to the Av Malacha, so it has the same status as the Av Malacha. So the Shita Mukubetzes on the first Daf in Baba Kama raises this question, how come by Nezikin, when you have the Toldos of the Nezikin, there's no need for a Pasuk to be Marba the Toldos and Kayetzibem? We employ the Midah Shatar and Dreshenesbem, the Midah of Mamatzinu, whatever Midah that is, either it's part of the Midah of Kalachar, or part of the Midah of Binyanach, and we establish a Toldos and Kayetzibem. Anything that's sufficiently similar to the Arbavis Nezikin has the same halacha. So why is it with respect to Malacha Shabbos that why don't we say on our own that whatever activity is sufficiently similar to the Av Malacha is automatically considered a tolda and prohibited on Shabbos? Why do we need a pasuk to say that you have a right to establish? So the Shittim Kubetzes raises the question. And the Shittim Kubetzes answers, truth of the matter is that Shabbos should have also, we should have been able to figure out on our own which toldas are rasa. But on Shabbos, how did we establish in the first place which obas are rasa? So the Gemara says we established based on the Pesukim and Chumash, whatever activity was important in the Binyan HaMishkan is declared as an av. That's how the Gemara says in the first daf of Baba Kama. Ach tahavi b'mishkan chashiva korei av. Whatever activity was important in Asiyas HaMishkan is considered an av malacha. So the toldos by definition means activities that were not at all involved in Asiyas HaMishkan. So one might have thought mistakenly that whatever was not involved in Asiyas HaMishkan by definition, cannot be Asa, because the Chumash always links together Asiyas HaMishkan with the Malachas on Shabbos. So that's why on Shabbos you need a special pasuk to be Marbe, that you do have a right to establish Tolas, the Tolas same Kayetzibim. That's a further question. What does that mean? Does it mean that for Malachas Shabbos it doesn't have to be in the Mishkan? But then you say, no, the Tolas are considered as if they were in the Mishkan because they were represented by the others. That's a further discussion when you study the Gemara. What does it mean, told the same Kayetzibem by Shabbos? But this Midah Binyan Av, this is what we use all the time. You don't need any Psukim to tell you you have a right to Darshan Binyan Av. That's how we always establish the Halacha. The Psukim give a din in one particular case. And whenever you have a case, so the Talmud will formulate a din in a certain instance. And we assume whenever you have a case that's sufficiently similar to the Pasuk and Chumash, or to the case in the Mishnah and the Gemara, the din is going to be the same. That's the Midah Binyan Av. That's the Midah of Mamatzinu, either Binyan Av or Kal V'Chaymer. Then we mentioned that the Rambam in his introduction to the Pirush HaMishnayos writes there are four parts to the Torah Shabbat Pe. So he said the first part are the Halachas L'Moshe Misina, the second part are the Pirushim HaMikubalim L'Moshe Misina. We have a tradition that this is what this phrase means. Ayin Tachasayin means Momen, and so on. Create Sada means Ezra. The third part are the dinim that are established through the Midah Shatar and Dreshes Mem. Today, as I mentioned, today we've already lost the art of darshaning all the Midahs. We don't even know how they function. The only one we work with is Kal V'Chomer and Mamatzin. That's all the others, we don't know how they work. The Ramchal, the author of the Mesillas Shamar, Moshe Chaim Letzata, has in one of his short essays, he published several other svarim aside from the Mesillas Shamar. So in one of his shorter essays, he quotes from the Medrash Rabbam Shirashim that already in the days of the Tanoim, many of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSbem had already been forgotten. There used to be Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSbem how to establish concepts in Agadita. The Gemara says in Becherbis, in the first paragraph, that the Tanoim knew how to figure out scientific principles, biological principles, chemistry, physics. They could figure out by reading Bereshis. No. In the days of the Amoraim, for sure they didn't know that. Today, for sure, nobody knows how to figure out. To read Parshas Bereshis and to figure out how long is the period of gestation for a snake. How can you figure that out? Like, we don't know what these Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSbem are. In the days of the Tanoim, they had many more Midas, and over the years, many of the Midas were forgotten, they were all lost. So by now, the only Mida we work with is the Mida of Kal V'Chomer and Mamatzin. Then the Rama has a fourth category, a fourth part, to the Torah Shebaal Peh, are the Dinim de Rabbanim. It's interesting, the Ramam considers all of the Dinim de Rabbanim as part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a shiur every Tuesday night for the Balabatim in the Maria Synagogue on 80th Street in Broadway. So he spent many years studying Gemara Brachas. Much of Gemara Brachas deals with Dinim de Rabbanim. So I remember after spending many years, it was well over 10 years, I wasn't there for most of the 10 years I was in high school, I was in college. I started going after I graduated college. So he once made a comment that someone could perhaps raise an issue. Instead of wasting so much time studying all these dinim derabbanon on the level of deraisa, this is really bittul Torah. There's only Talmud Torah and derabbanon studying all these dinim derabbanon. Maybe it would have been wiser that he should have studied. He should have given a shiur in Gemara Menachos and Zvachim, where you have 95% of it is dinim deraisa and only 5% is dinim derabbanon. So we would have had more Talmud Torah deraisa and less bittul Torah deraisa. He said he doesn't think that's an objection. He thought that even though the dinim de Rabbanon are only binding with the Rabbanon, but once the rabbis established these dinim, all the dinim de Rabbanon become part of the Torah Shebaal Peh on the level of the Raisa. And when one studies these dinim, one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah Talmud Torah min haTorah. It's not just Talmud Torah min haRabbanon, it's Talmud Torah min haTorah. How can you have such a thing? That it's a cheftza shal Torah min haTorah. When you study these dinim, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but the chobes hagavra, the obligation to observe it, is only with the Rabbanon. How can that be? But if the obligation to observe the mitzvahs of the Rabbanon is only with the Rabbanon, how can it be Talmud Torah, the Raisa? So he said, you have it by Beis Shammai's opinions. The Gemara says that one who spends time studying the opinions of Beis Shammai is not in violation of Bittul Torah. The Gemara has an expression in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, Elu v'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chai. When you study Beis Shammai's Shittas, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. How can that be so? But we know in advance we're not going to paskin like Beis Shammai. We know the din is like Beis Hillel. You can't even be mitzar Beis Shammai's Shittas b'shas hadchak, the hefsid merubah. The Gemara says absolutely not. Beis Shammai b'mak misil ein mishnah. It's not like any other machlokes. We know in advance. We're absolutely not going to accept Beis Shammai's opinion. So why isn't it Bittul Torah when you study their opinions? So he said, obviously we distinguish between what we consider a cheftza shel Torah as opposed to the chay b'sak gavra, the obligation to follow p'sak halacha is you have to follow Beis Hillel. You're not allowed to follow Beis Shammai, even mishas hadchak v'hefsid merubah. But nonetheless, the Beis Shammai were working with the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh HaSbem. They were using the same guiding principles that the Beis Hillel worked with. They just had a different nuance of reading in between the lines. So therefore, the Shittas of Beis Shammai are considered a Cheftza Shel Torah, even though there is no Cheves HaGavra at all. So Rav Soloveitchik said, he thinks that the same is true regarding Dinim Derabbanan, that the obligation to observe the Dinim Derabbanan is only Midirabbanan, the Cheves HaGavra is only Midirabbanan, but a Cheftza Shel Torah it is on the level of the Raisa. That's perhaps why the Gemara has, many times the Gemara has called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein the Raisa Tikkun. When the rabbis institute the Dinim Derabbanan, they have to pattern the Dinim Derabbanan along the lines of the Dinim Deraisa, because these Dinim Derabbanan are going to blend in to become a part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, min haTorah. So it has to fit in with the rest of the Torah Shebichsan. It has to fit in with the rest of the Dinim Deraisa, if you want it to blend in. And the Gemara every so often will quote the Din Derabbanan to establish what the Din Deraisa used to be on the assumption that it cannot be the rabbis invented a din de rabbanon from thin air. All the dinim de rabbanon had to be patterned after dinim de raisa. So from the fact that the rabbis instituted such a din de rabbanon, this itself is a hechacha, that those who established this din de rabbanon assumed X, Y, and Z when it gave to a din de raisa. Every so often the Gemara will, Rabbi Basra in the second Perek and other places, Rabbi Chana Basra has a whole essay about this. The Gemara will quote dinim de rabbanon to show you what the dinim de raisa were before the rabbis instituted their dinim de rabbanon. I mentioned earlier that the generally accepted opinion, mainstream opinions, where the Rambam wrote, not like the Gaonim, very surprising, Rabbi Hirsch also, he adopted the position of the Gaon. That's not the mainstream opinion. Generally accepted the Rambam's opinion that the Rabbanim in every generation have the right to use the Midrash HaTorah and Reshis Behem to read in between the lines and to come up with Chidush HaDinim, which were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. When the Medrash uses the expression, every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't take it literally that every single din was given. The text of the Chumash was given, and the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi spent the guidelines, and then the details are up to the Rabbanim in every generation to work out. This seems to be, this is the mainstream opinion, this way it's generally assumed, and even the Rambam emphasizes, and this is based on Gemaras, we have a rule in the Mishnayos, if an earlier Bezdin made a rabbinic enactment, they made a takana de rabbanon, and a later Bezdin decides to repeal this rabbinic enactment, so they only have authority to repeal it if the later Bezdin is greater the chachma of the minyan, if they're greater scholars. Every so often you have a later Bezdin can honestly say they're greater in scholarship than the earlier Bezdin, and they're greater in minyan, they have a greater number of rabbanim. The original din de rabbanon was instituted by a group of 25 rabbanim, and now we have 35 rabbanim. And the 35 rabbanim are greater scholars than the original ones. And since the later bezin is both greater b'chochma u'b'minyan, a larger number of rabbanim and the greater scholars, and they have a right to repeal the din de rabbanon that was enacted by the original bezin. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim that this principle that appears in the Mishnayos only applies if the later Bezdin is interested in repealing a din de rabbanon. What if they're arguing about a din de raisa? The earlier Bezdin thought that the din de raisa is like this, and the later Bezdin thinks that it's not correct, that the din de raisa is not like that. So the Rambam writes, there's no need for a Bezdin greater b'chachma v'minyan. You have a pasuk says, "Avosel ha'shoifet ha'shiyah b'yamim ha'im." If you have a shayla, go to the rabbanim in your generation. So the Gemara asks, of course, what are you going to do? Go to the cemetery. You're going to ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe, what's the din? He's not going to answer. You're going to go to Rab Chaim Moses' kever. He's not going to answer. So of course you have to go, you have to go to the Rabbanim in your generation. What does that expression mean in the Chumash? If the Shofet is not alive, of course you can't go. So the Gemara says, no. Rab Chaim Moses printed Tshuvas. We have from the Vilna Gaon, we have his Sfarim. We know what he said. We don't have to ask him that. We know what he said. And Rav Moshe Feinstein gets up and he says, with all due respect, I disagree with the Vilna Gaon, with the Chassam Sofer, with the Nadi Yehuda, with Rav Chaim Moshe. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is the first one to say that each one of the above was greater than him. Rav Moshe was a very humble person. Those who remember him, he's an extremely humble person. But very often he disagrees with many of the great apostles who preceded him. So that's what the pasuk tells us. You're supposed to listen to the rabbanim in your generation, provided they're entitled to an opinion. Sometimes the rabbanim in your generation are not entitled to an opinion. So that's what Moshe Feinstein said. Maybe I'm not entitled to an opinion at all. So he said, well, what can I do? People keep on pressuring me, they keep on insisting that I am entitled. So if they're right, on the assumption that they're right, so I'm obligated to give my honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who preceded me, even though those who preceded me are greater, even though they're greater in learning. That's what the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, that the Rabbanim in every generation, provided they're entitled to an opinion, are obligated to give the honest to goodest opinion, even if it's in disagreement with all of those Rabbanim who came before him, before them. There was a Hungarian rabbi who lived in the New York area who wrote a whole sefer attacking Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe's tshuvas are called Igros Moshe, the letters of Moshe Feinstein. So this rabbi published the sefer Mana Li Igros, the response to the Igros Moshe. So he collects all of the tshuvas where he passed away, but he was a big Talmid Chacham. But a little bit of a chutzpah. So he collected all the tshuvas where Moshe Feinstein disagrees with the Nevi Yehuda, all the places where he disagrees with the Chasam Sofer, all the places where he disagrees with the Vilna Gaon. So he says, look what an arrogant person Rav Moshe was. It's a joke. Anyone who remembers Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was not at all arrogant. He was unusually humble. So Rav Moshe read his attacks. He said, I don't say that I'm greater than the others. I think the others are greater than me. But people, maybe I'm not entitled to an opinion. What can I do? People keep on pressuring me. Rabbanim are pressuring him. They insist that he is entitled to an opinion. So he says, okay, if they think I'm entitled to an opinion, then Halacha says I'm obligated to give my honest to goodness opinion, even if it's a disagreement with those who have preceded me. The Gemara says, Beferish, that during the period of the Bais Rishon, for 410 years, they did the Nisach HaYayin one way. And then the Beis HaMikdash was in a state of destruction for 70 years when they rebuilt the Bais Sheni. So the Rabbanim in that generation read the Psukim differently, and they decided to do Nisach HaYayin differently. So how do they have the chutzpah to disagree with Shlomo HaMelech? Is that the chutzpah? So it doesn't mean the Sfasemis, yes, and that Gemara and Sfasem, doesn't mean that for 410 years they were never yotze the mitzvah of Nisach HaYayin properly, they were doing it wrong. No. Eilu v'yelu divrei kimcha. During the period of the Bais Rishon, they read the Psukim, they read in between the lines. It's not a question of reading the Psukim, a question of how to darshan the Psukim. So they read in between the lines one way. And they were supposed to listen to the Rabbanim in their generation. Then when they built the Bais Sheni, it wasn't a secret. They knew what the practice was, Bizman Bais Rishon. But they disagreed, so they darshaned the Psukim differently. So they did the Nisach HaYayin differently. In their generation, they were doing it correctly. In their generation, they were doing it correctly. That's what the Gemara says, Eilu v'yelu, divrei elokim chayim. The Tosfos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, quotes this passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, and if you look in Mishnah Shviyos, is on the first page in Mishnah Shviyos, all of the commentaries quote this. The Mishnah records that Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Hillel and Shammai were the chief rabbi and assistant chief rabbi 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Then the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel were their yeshivas, their students. That lasted for 100 years, and then after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash also, we had disputes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So these Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they were big Tanoim. They were very learned. So the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel instituted a zman of Tosefes Shviyos, that not only are you not permitted to do Meleches HaKarka on the Shnas HaShemitah, after Rosh Hashanah, Shnas HaShemitah enters, even a couple of months before Shemitah begins, there's also a din of Tosefes Shviyos, you're not permitted to do Avodas HaKarka. And then several generations later, comes after the destruction of the Second Temple, comes the Tana of Rabbi Gamliel, and he did away with the whole din of Tosefes Shviyos. So the Talmud Yerushalmi asked, did he really think that he was greater b'chachma b'minyan? This Rabbi Gamliel was a prominent Tana, but did he think that he was greater b'chachma? He thought he was more scholarly than the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel together, who all agreed that there is a din of Tosefes Shviyos. So the Talmud Yerushalmi answers that when the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel prohibited Tosefes Shviyos, they said you have to add on a couple of months and a couple of weeks, depending what kind of a field it is. Isra Avodas HaKarka before Shemitah enters. So they're based on Psukim. They read the Psukim one way. And that later in the generation, Rabbi Gamliel, he also based on Psukim. He read the Psukim differently. So the Yerushalmi says this principle that you require a Bezdin, the later Bezdin should be greater, B'chachma V'minyan, in order to repeal the enactment, the rabbinic enactment made by the earlier Bezdin. That's only if you're dealing with the rabbinic enactment and they want to repeal the rabbinic enactment. But if you're arguing how to read the Psukim in the Chumash, that's the klal. Ein lo chal shefet shebi amecha. Even if the later Bezdin is not at all great in the chachma minyan, as long as they're entitled to an opinion. Many times people are not entitled to an opinion. As long as they're entitled to an opinion, they have the right and the obligation to give their honest to goodness opinion, even if it's in disagreement with those who are much greater than them. This is what the Rambam quotes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, the very outset of Hilchas Mamrim, and the Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph quotes that, and on the first page in Mishnah Yeshviyos, the Tosfos HaRosh and the Rash, they all quote this from the Talmud Yerushalmi. All the Rishonim quote this. In Choshen Mishpat, you have a whole Siman Chof Hei, where there's a the Psak Halacha, one of the most complicated sugyos in Shas Torah, B'Shikol Hadas. If a Bezna had a Din Torah and Didi Mamanis, and the Bezna initially gave one Psak, and then they reconsider it and they think they made a mistake. So when do they have the right to reverse their Psak, and when do they not have the right to reverse their Psak? And sometimes if they cannot reverse their Psak, sometimes they're held responsible. They have to pay for their pocket to the one against whom they were mafsid him the first time around, because their Psak was incorrect. So this is a famous sugi of Torah B'Shikol Hadas, Torah B'Dvar Mishpat. So all of the details are quoted in Chosh Mishpat Simen Chafet. So the Ramah there makes a statement in Simen Chafet. He says, what if we have Tshuvas HaGoyim? The Goyim lived before the days of Rashi and Tosfos, after the Chasimah Satalmud, after the Tanoim and Amoraim, before the Rishonim, was it Tkufas HaGoyim? So if you have, so we usually assume that the Goyim are more authoritative than the Rishonim. So what if someone in our generation, the Ramah, lives in the 1500s in Europe? What if we in the 1500s, or we in the 2000s, we think that the Goyim made a mistake? Are we allowed to paskin against the Goyim? So the Ramah warns you, he says, you better consult with other contemporaries of yours, maybe you're just making a mistake. You consult, and everybody's convinced that the Goyim made a mistake. So he says, then you have to paskin against the Goyim, just because they came earlier, but if you're convinced, and you consult with others, and they all think the Goyim made a mistake, and you have rise that they made a mistake, so you're not allowed to paskin like the Goyim. If you think they're wrong, you have to paskin otherwise. So then the Ramah says, and what if you think that the Gemara made a mistake? I study Gemara. And you think the Gemara made a mistake, I have a better pshat than the Amoraim. So he says, that you have no right to disagree with the Gemara. Why not? So the Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch that the Gemara says in Bava Metzi, on Daf Pei Vav, that there was a Sifra Shal Adam HaRishon. So Zeh Sefer told us Adam, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara in Bava Metzi says this is a reference to the Sifra Shal Adam HaRishon, a book that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon, which contained all the future history of the world and had contained the future history of the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So in this Sifra Shal Adam HaRishon, some of the Gemara tells a story that Rav and Shmuel were two students of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi gave smicha to Rav. His name was not really Rav, his name was Abba, but because he got smicha, so we call him Rav, he was the rabbi. And Shmuel, due to a convergence of circumstances, it turned out that he didn't get smicha. The train was leaving to go to Bavel, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was on vacation, whatever, there's a rabbinical convention, it turns out he never got smicha. So Rav got smicha, Shmuel didn't get smicha. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi felt very bad. It turned out that one of his star students, Shmuel, never got smicha. So one of the other contemporaries told Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, don't feel bad about it. I happen to see snatches from this book that's known as Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon, the Sefer HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon, that contains Dor Dor V'Chachamim, Dor Dor V'Dorshov, has a list of all the Rabbanim. So it says in that book that they're going to be two students of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rav is going to get smicha and Shmuel is not going to get smicha. So don't feel bad, that's the way it was intended to be. So then the Gemara quotes some more snatches from the Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon. So one of the lines says, Ravina v'Ravashi soifai rov. Ravina v'Ravashi were those who edited the Talmud Bavli. That's the end of the period of Paskin and Shilas. What do you mean? Rav Moshe Feinstein was Paskin and Shilas during our lifetime. The Vilna Gaon was Paskin and Shilas. The Chasam Sofer was Paskin and Shilas. All the people who were Paskin and Shilas that we heard of, they all lived after Ravina v'Ravashi. So the Vilna Gaon says, no, that's what it means. In every generation, the Chachamim have a right to disagree with those who preceded them, even if they're not greater b'chachma v'minyan. If you're arguing about what the Din D'Oraisa is, the Achronim have a right to disagree with the Rishonim and the Goyim, and the Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanoim, and so on. Everybody has a right to disagree with everybody else. But there's a cutoff point. Those who came after Rabbi Ravashi cannot disagree with the Maskana that was accepted in the days of Rabbi Ravashi. That's what the Gemara means by this line in the Sefer Shel Adam HaRishon, that Ravina Ravashi Sofai Ro. Why should that be so? Why is all of a sudden Ravina Ravashi Sofai Ro? So my father, Zechanah Lebracha, told me that he heard from Moshe Soloveitchik the following suggestion. One could interpret differently, but this Moshe Soloveitchik suggested that historically the Torah Shel Baal Peh was being transmitted Baal Peh from generation to generation until the days of Ravina Ravashi. Even after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi edited the Mishnayos, they were still reciting Mishnayos Baal Peh. It wasn't They had private notes. The Rambam says everybody had Megillah start. People kept private notes. But the Shir was given Baal Peh, not reading in a text. And it was only after the days of Rabin Rav Ashi that the system changed. That's the accepted opinion by the majority of the history books and the majority of the Achrayim. The Achrayim from the 1600s talk about this. So most Achrayim assume that even after Rav Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnayos, they were still transmitting the Mishnayos Baal Peh in the Shir, not Mitoch HaKsav. So that's the real tradition, the real Balei HaMasorah of the Torah Shebaal Peh, were those who were transmitting the Torah Shebaal Peh, Baal Peh. After the days of Ravina Rav Ashi, where they started giving the Shiur Mitoch HaKsav, so there's still a transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh, there's still a Masorah, but Al Pidin, it's a lower level of Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, because you're studying Mitoch HaKsav. You're not in complete fulfillment of the Din of Dvarim Shebaal Peh being transmitted Baal Peh. So that's why those Al Pidin, those who came after Rabbi Rav Ashi, have no right to disagree with that psak that was accepted at that time. But the Rambam writes explicitly like that. In the days of the Tanoim and Amoraim, those who came in the later generations had the right to disagree with those who came in the earlier generations. Rabbi Yosef Karo there in his commentary on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, points out, we often have an Amora makes a statement, he says, I think the din is X, Y, Z. Then the Amora says, how can he say that? But it's against the Mishnah. So what's wrong? Let him say, I disagree with the Mishnah. What's wrong? If you say that a Talmid Chacham in a later generation has the right to disagree with the Talmid Chachamim in the earlier generations, even if those in the earlier generations are greater B'chacham of the Minyan, so why does the Gemara make it to Yufta? Well, what's the big kasha against the Amora just because it's against the Mishnah? Let him say he disagrees. So the case Mishnah says, Enachinami, and Amora has a right to disagree with the Tanna based on all the sources. He has a right. But the Amoraim adopted as an attitude, as a policy. If they see all the Tanaim say one way, then they're not going to dare disagree. If there'll be a machloikas in the days of the Tanaim, and the majority say one way, and the minority say the other way, then the Amoraim would sometimes disagree with the consensus, with the majority opinion, they'll adopt the minority view. But if they'll come to the realization that all the Tanaim say that they're wrong, so then they would never want to disagree with the Tanaim. But strictly speaking, if they do want to disagree, they have the right to. And this is repeated in the later generations. Rabbi Chana, I'll close with this. Rabbi Chana Wasserman writes a sharp kasha that he asked of his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and he quotes the answer that his Rebbe gave. The Gemara says that Rav was the student of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He was the first generation of Amoraim. And usually the Amoraim don't disagree with Tanaim. And Rav held that he's a Tana and he had a right to disagree with the Tanaim. That's what the Gemara says. Rav Tana Hu Pali. Rav held he had a right to disagree with the Tanaim. And in every case that the Gemara invokes this, the Gemara says, Rav Tana Hu Pali. We always pass like Rav when he disagrees with the Tanaim. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes that he has the kasha of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that runs as follows. There's a thesis in the beginning of Ksubis. The Tosfos shows from the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rav on that point. Rabbi Yochanan was also a student of Rabbi Yonos, the first generation of Amoraim. So Rabbi Yochanan held that Rav did not have the right to disagree with the Tanaim. Okay. But we have a rule in the Gemara, whenever there's a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halachic Rabbi Yochanan. So if Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Rav had no right to disagree with the Tanaim, whenever Rav and Rabbi Yochanan disagree, halachic Rabbi Yochanan, so we should never accept all of those passages, all those cases where Rav disagrees with the Tanaim. We always accept all of them. So this is the kasha that he asked Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he said, Rav Chaim left, and he said, an Amora has a right to disagree with the Tana also. Well, what's the problem? What's halacha l'moshe b'sinai? An Amora can't disagree. Because Mishnah writes that the Amoraim had an attitude. This was they decided they're not going to disagree. But if an Amora is fully convinced that all the Tanaim are wrong, so he has a right to disagree. The Malchamas, the Ramban Malchamas at the end of Baba Kama has a list of Gemaras. We have Amoraim disagreeing with all the Tanaim. There is no such halacha, and Amora can't disagree. Usually that was the attitude that they had. They're not going to go disagree with all the Tanaim. There's a lot more to discuss. We are still transmitting the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh from generation to generation. We are still adding on Dinim Deraisa by darshaning Psukim through Svaris and through Mamatzinus, and we'll be darshaning for many years to come. Have a good day. Thank you.